People plan, the very wise old saying goes, and God laughs. Just ask any parent. The surprises, some lovely, some not, delivered by our children, remind us daily that the idea of control is, if not laughable, at least murky. And therein lie gifts. Kyla Hannington's essay this morning from Nanaimo is called Moonchild.
During my first pregnancy, I lay awake night after night worrying about the baby. I was afraid I would give birth not to a little girl or boy, but to a Komodo dragon. Would I still love it the way I would a human baby? I wondered. Then my daughter came, born both healthy and human. And so by the time I was pregnant with my second child, I figured I had this whole birth and parenting thing down pat. Just let me bite down on a strap of leather in the delivery room and we'll all be fine. I am Earth Mother. I can conquer all. It was not to be so simple. I spent 11 weeks on bed rest and still my second child was born premature. Ivy had a hole in her heart and severe jaundice, and they had to squeeze blood out of the soles of her feet to do prick tests. She kept losing weight. She wouldn't eat. I would wake to feed her every 2 hours, taping a tiny tube to my pinky finger to carry the milk I'd pumped earlier. We were regulars at the hospital. When she was admitted at 9 months, she lay limp, unresponsive and unmoving, as the student nurse made 5 attempts to set the IV in her wrist. The pediatrician noted the delays in her development. I noted them too. Ivy spent most of her second year sitting on the floor keening. She didn't communicate much with us, or at least not in any of the traditional ways. She didn't point or make word-like sounds. She seemed to see the world as though through a veil. Watching her, screaming yet again on the kitchen floor, I dug in for what seemed like the inevitable autism diagnosis. I wondered what life would be like for my kid. I just wanted her to be okay. And it wasn't appearing to me that it was going to be okay for her. Not really. Not at all. But years have passed. Ivy has grown up to be a small girl, in some ways much like other small girls, although she has grown up fearless. I've been chasing after Ivy her entire childhood. She'll crawl, unconcerned, into Chesapeake Bay, or spin, caught in a moment of dancing, into oncoming traffic, or climb 30 feet up a tree. She has no sense of danger. She also spends a lot of time somewhere else. I don't know where she goes. Her body is here with me, but her mind is someplace else. Someplace pleasant. Some alternate universe I can neither understand nor see. She's like a changeling, my father muses. And it's true. She is some ethereal being, only half here. In these moments when she stands, suddenly slack-jawed, her attention someplace otherworldly, I can imagine her as 2 inches high and winged, playing under a fern in a forest, where, if she was spotted, she might startle, turn into mist, and disappear. The rest of the time, she is very much here. She is all arms and legs. She loves to cuddle. She is quite thin, and when she sits on my lap, she feels like 2 small, hard stones. Tie a pillow on your bum before you sit down, I tell her, and she laughs, squirms closer. She has been diagnosed with a sensory perception disorder, which, in lay terms, means she likes to hold hands and carry around the cats. We talk a lot about personal space. It's not such a great thing to have a kid who is constantly trying to touch things. When you get sent to the principal's office, I tell her, because she's a regular there and not in a good way, this is not so you can hold hands. On the other hand, she tends to win over people who don't generally like children because she ignores or doesn't understand social cues. She just assumes everyone loves her as much as she loves them. She wins over the hardest of hearts. She's still not the best verbal communicator. When I think back on it, I see that I have spent 1,429 consecutive days saying, Use your words. And if you bite your sister when she yells at you, you will be the person who gets in trouble, not her. You need to ask before you hug people, I say. You need to not enthusiastically jump on your friends the first moment you see them on the playground. Her older sister tells her the story of her birth. She tells Ivy that she came from the moon. Moon people, according to her sister, look a lot like other people, but they are tall and thin for their age and have pointy ears. But most of all, says the older sister, they have the most gentle of hearts. And sometimes the moon people look down on Earth and decide to send one of their children, on loan, to some family that could use the extra gentleness, that sort of love. Ivy has been lent to our family, her older sister tells her, and we all smile kind of teary-eyed, because we all know that while it's not true, it's kind of true. It's true enough. I have been a mother now for just over a decade, and despite my youthful fantasy, I know that under no circumstances would anyone ever consider me an Earth mother, least of all me. I no longer feel that I can conquer all, but nor do I feel like I ought to. What is to be conquered, I wonder, as I watch my older daughter strap Ivy into goalie gear and show her how to stand in net? Perhaps we're all meant to do what Ivy does. Live fearlessly, give out the occasional unexpected hug, and treat everyone we meet with a gentle heart. For the Sunday edition, I am Kyla Hannington in Nanaimo.